presto, listeners. It's time to participate in a prestidigitatory production, as before your very ears we pull the rabbit of ribaldry from the headgear of humdrummery. Yes, thrill to the magic of mirth and the leisure demand of levity in At Home with the Hardys. Mr. and Mrs. Hardy and their friends Paul and Caroline have few secrets from each other, and yet illusions abound. All is not what it seems, and general discombobulation is rife. Thus we find our two swinging singles at Paul's pad, musing upon the unfamiliar estate of wedlock.
Well, I suppose one advantage of being married is that you do get it regularly.
Paul, you don't have to be married to get your milk delivered.
But to me, Caroline, it's a symbol of being settled down. Like matching silk dressing gowns, two names on the checkbook, squeezing the spots on someone else's back.
That's disgusting. I hate silk dressing gowns.
What I'm saying, Caroline, is that it's all very well being single when you're not married. I haven't got anyone to make the effort for. Do you know, for once in my life, I'd like to finish a loaf of bread before it goes off.
I don't know if I could live with anyone else. I've got too many irregular habits.
Well, you could always marry someone who likes that sort of thing. But Caroline, don't you have, like, you know, maternal instincts?
Not really. I don't get on with my mother at all.
No, but I mean, look at Kit and Jeremy. Now that they've had a baby, it all makes sense to me.
You must have known where babies come from before that, Paul.
Of course I did. A man with my vast experience of women. Kit told me.
I must say, though, I do envy Kit being married. I mean, if something goes wrong, Jeremy's always there.
Yeah, but you can't blame him for everything. Still, they will always have each other, won't they? God, I can just see them, years from now, a sprightly, white-haired old couple in the twilight zone of their lives, yeah. Snug in their little rose-tinted cottage, Jeremy puffing contentedly on his briar patch, Kit knitting grandchildren, toasting hot buttered slippers in front of the fire, surrounded by the merry chatter of false teeth.
Oh, that sounds brilliant. Do you know, I might wait till I'm really old before I get married.
I mean, I wonder where we'll be, though, eh? You might be one of those pathetic, bitter old social outcasts you see shuffling along the pavement with their plastic bags muttering to themselves.
I won't still be a traffic warden, Paul. Oh, Kit and Jeremy are lucky, though. They've got such a wonderful marriage.
Yeah. It's idyllic, really.
Blissful.
That's right. They're the perfect couple, in a way, aren't they?
Bastard! You're useless! I hate you! I never liked you. This damn computer, it's driving me crazy.
Hey, did you call?
No, honey. I'm trying to do the accounts for my shop on this thing, and it's just microwaved by VAT returns.
Well, shouldn't you knock it on the head? It is 10:30, and you didn't get in till 8.
Oh, I won't be much longer. It's just that, according to this machine, I appear to have 3 mutant ninja turtles on the payroll. And they're embezzling from me.
Those things are very bad for your eyes. You should always sit at least 10 feet away from the screen when you're working. And I must say, Kit, you're bringing far too much work home with you.
Yeah, that cash register weighed a ton. I had to bring it, though. The safe's full.
Oh, well, that's good anyway.
Not really. It was full of whiskey and chocolate. I never have time for a proper lunch.
Well, if you will snack on chocolate all day, no wonder you had no appetite for that nice dinner I cooked you.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey.
No, no, it's all right. No trouble. I can always make you another dinner tomorrow. It's only a shopping trip. Pick up a few simple ingredients, bit of haggling over the fresh truffles, 3 or 4 hours in the kitchen, no trouble at all.
Oh, here, let me help you clear up.
Oh, no, 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 no trouble. You're probably tired. I'll just whisk these things into the kitchen. They'll probably be done in 2 shakes of an hour or 2.
Oh, Jeremy, I'm being selfish, aren't I? Look, leave the dishes and sit down here and tell me what kind of day I've had. I mean, you've had.
Yes. Well, what do you think? Almost as soon as you left for work, it was time for Patty Joe's first change.
Uh-huh.
And just as I was in the middle of that, what should happen but a ring at the door, and there was a man from the local library support group. And he didn't leave till 10:15.
Uh-huh.
And then I had the hoovering to contend with, and you know that new attachment's been playing? So by that time, it was nearly 10:30, and I was getting behind.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, there's only one thing for it.
Uh-huh.
I'll have to leave darning the tea cozy till tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Kitty?
Hold on, Jeremy. I'm on the phone to my accountant. No, Myron, I don't think Jeremy'd like being turned into a limited company.
Kate?
Myron, I've got to go. Call me tomorrow morning. Not too early. Yeah, 6:30's fine.
Oh, Kit, you're not working tomorrow, are you? You promised the three of us would spend the day together.
Oh, so I did. Okay, we'll get up nice and early, make a picnic, and you guys can come to the shop and help me with the stock taking.
Oh, it's Sunday tomorrow.
Gee, so it is. Okay, I'll pay you double.
Now, you just sit quiet with me, Patty Jo. Anyway, Paul, that was my Sunday out with the family.
Well, you're lucky, Jezza. The nearest I get to spending a Sunday with a woman I love is taking my washing round at my mum's. I mean, I feel such a pillock, but she does insist. I keep a bag of clothes in the boot of the car, especially. I haven't worn them for years.
You've got your independence, Paul. You can just up and go where you want, and all you need is your car and a toothbrush. And a change of socks. Clean underwear. Some sandwiches for the journey. Cancel the papers, ask a neighbour to water the plants. Put a new fuse in the timer switch for the living room table and to fool the burglars. Oh, listen to me. I can't even imagine what it's like to be single anymore.
Well, do the words lonely and desperate ring a bell? You see, when I see you here, Jezza, looking after Patty Jo, father and child, I don't know, my insides go all funny as though there's something trying to get out.
Yes, I think that's just happened to Patty Jo. Good girl. Let's get you cleaned up before Mummy gets home. Remember her? You know, Paul, sometimes I feel like I'm having an affair with a married woman. Then I realise it's Kit.
Oh, well, you see, you've got a working wife. I haven't even got a broken one.
Well, when Kit suggested starting her shop, I was all in favour. I thought it would be good for the relationship if she had a job. Especially because I haven't got one. But now I hardly ever see her and I'm stuck here with a baby all day.
Oh, what you need is a hobby. Look at me.
That doesn't sound like much of a hobby.
Look, Jeremy, what do you think I've been doing all last week, sitting on my own all night in my bedroom with the lights off?
I've heard that's bad for your eyesight, Paul.
No. It's all right. I often extend it to its full length. You know, you can have a go on it if you want.
Well, that's very kind of you, Paul.
Yeah, it's a great telescope.
Oh! Holy... Of course, yes, you sent away for a telescope, didn't you? Is it astronomical?
Oh, yeah, it cost me a fortune. It is good, though. I've been searching for beings from a different planet.
Oh, you've been spying on Caroline?
Nah, it's brilliant, Jezza. Come round and see me and have a go.
All right, I want to get out tonight. Kit and Caroline are going to be around here watching some film, probably a ghastly subtitled Hungarian art movie about fish drying. I can't stand all that pretentious highbrow gobbledygook.
Oh, Kit. That was amazing. It was so deep and powerful. Well, it is a classic of its genre. One of the best Walton's episodes ever.
Oh, that bit where John Boy climbs down the ravine to deliver the Black family's baby for them, even though he is on fire.
Yeah, you know, the fire motif was a masterly prefiguration of the impending global conflagration, while the ravine, of course, symbolized the divided self. And besides, it was the best collection of flared trousers I've seen outside of Open University.
So what's next? Shall we watch the Hungarian fish-drying film?
No, I've heard it's just a cozy, sentimental bunch of mush about family life. Good flares, though.
Oh, no, I want to watch it. I'm really into, you know, the nuclear family.
Well, I'll tell you this, we haven't got one. Patty Jo is definitely wind-powered. You know, I reckon that Mrs. Walton had it easy. Nowadays, a woman's got to be a breadwinner and bake it herself.
Yeah, using only 100% natural ingredients.
Yeah, I don't think I can hack it as a 90s woman. I mean, look at this article in Cosmopolitan.
Oh, yeah.
No, not that one. Not 24 fun ideas for decorating your uterine walls. The one on the next page.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. How to manage a manicure and facial, beat the cellulite blues, and plan that gourmet meal for the Famine Relief Committee during those cutthroat board meetings, all while breastfeeding and still projecting the real sexy you.
Oh, I know. The pressures on women today are unbearable. I mean, I'm expected to be a traffic warden and a human being.
Say, is it true that men go for a woman in uniform?
Yeah, men go for me all the time. Usually at about 40 miles an hour without braking.
Well, the closest Jeremy gets to kinky sex these days is undoing the top button of his pajamas.
Oh, but at least in a marriage you get to grow old together.
Yeah, within weeks. Being married is fine, but sometimes I see myself as a sultry Arab temptress, belly dancing in a Bedouin desert tent, surrounded by toy boys. Maybe some real ones as well. And then a young Omar Sharif arrives on a desert caravan. You know, if I told Jeremy about that, he'd start saving up for a dormobile.
Oh, come in, Jezza, come in, come in.
Ah, this is where it all happens, eh, Paul? The old bachelor pad, the love trap. There again, I expect you hardly ever spend a night in your own bed.
Oh, that's true, Jezza. I normally keel over drunk on the stairs. Oh, no, I mean, I admit, you know, I have played the field for a bit. Well, I played for a bit in a field. But what you don't realise, Jeremy, is that there's loads of things a married man can do that a bachelor can't.
Like what?
Well, commit adultery.
Well, there you are, you see. That's the single man's mentality. You chaps, anything goes. I mean, in olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking, and now, heaven knows. I mean, I expect your bedroom strewn with crotchless knickers.
Yeah, I'll have to get round to mending them before the winter. Otherwise, we're talking pickled walnuts, Jezza. Anyway, come through to the bedroom. Come through. Oh, dear, look at this mess. It's like a laundrette after an air raid. Right, now listen, I'll get the telescope set up. Hold the leg of that tripod. Have a look through the old one-eyed binocular. I've got it trained on the constellation of Taurus the Bull.
That's your star sign, isn't it?
Well, it was, yeah, but it didn't suit me personality, so I've applied for a transfer. Right, you look through there, and I'll adjust this bit. There you go. The cosmos. Makes a bloke feel kind of small, doesn't it?
Well, it is a very long telescope.
Yes.
Look, Paul, I'm sure this is all very interesting, but you shouldn't be locking yourself away in here. You should be out at the discotheque in your snazzy trousers, waving it up with the dolly birds, like you used to.
Well, yeah, maybe you're right.
Yes, this is a sort of pastime for a sad, lonely, withdrawn sort of chap with nothing better to do. Why don't I borrow it?
All right, yeah. Yeah, better still, I'll rent it to you as a gift.
All right, it's a deal.
And the other night, I had this dream where I was Mata Hari, and Omar Sharif was a handsome general who was helplessly revealing all of his secret plans. And then I woke up and it was Jeremy, babbling something about knocking a serving hatch through the kitchen wall.
Well, maybe you're just working too hard.
It's true, I am exhausted. I never see Jeremy, and the last time I took a really good look at Patty Joe was on a scan.
Oh, and it must be hard on Jeremy.
Not often, but that's not his fault. I mean, it can't be very sexy feeling like a tax deduction. And even if he did want to cover himself in whipped cream and dive off the bathroom cabinet, I'd probably fall asleep before he landed.
Well, Kit, you've just got to make time.
You're right. And then maybe all of the romance and fire will come back. Why, I could whisk Jeremy away to a South Sea island, and we'd make love in the sand, the rippling waves caressing our feet.
Breaking ever more rhythmically on the shore.
Yes, and fireworks rocketing from a pleasure cruiser.
Lotus buds bursting open.
A wild stallion rearing up on its hind legs.
The chimney being demolished in reverse and the train going into the tunnel.
Yeah.
The zeppelin plunging into the crevasse.
Yeah. But then again, we could just have a picnic. But I'm going to put life into our marriage if it kills me. Starting when I get in from work tomorrow, why, he won't know what hit him.
Look, Patty Joe. Look through the telescope. You see, that's Orion's belt. And below his belt, the Big Dipper. You know, this is fascinating. What can you see, eh? A space daddy and his little alien baby looking at us through a telescope. Let me see. Gosh, I'm used to staring into space for hours on end, but this is wonderful. Hello, what's that? That's not on the chart. Oh, it must be here somewhere. It would be something if you and I had stumbled upon a new comet or something, eh, Patty?
Lover man! Oh, lover man!
Hello, darling.
Oh, I left work early because I was feeling kind of hot. Oh, I need to take off my leatherette raincoat to cool off.
Oh, gee, I'm naked underneath.
Oh, dear, you must have forgotten to get dressed this morning. Well, it's just as well you stood behind a counter all day. Now, what can that be?
Oh, you don't need a telescope to see my charms.
Meteorite, probably. Well, maybe. It's possible. I don't know.
You're so assured. So certain. Oh, and I feel so dizzy. I feel as if I might fall.
Well, grab hold of something.
Oh, goodness.
Or have a lie down, possibly.
Yeah. Maybe I'll stretch out here on the rug. Like a cat. Want to join me?
Yes. A meteorite.
Oh, this champagne corks popped. I must have been holding it too tight.
Careful, dear. You're getting that all over you.
That's right. And you don't have a glass.
Oh, don't worry about me. I'll have a drop in me tea later.
Oh, Jeremy, look at me.
Wouldn't a meteorite move faster than that?
Oh, I don't know, Jeremy. And I don't care. I'm going to bed. I've had enough of this humiliation.
Oh, dear, your mother's tired again, Patty. Just as well I've got my telescope since she's so set on ignoring us.
Paul, why did you ask to meet me at this funny calf?
It's not a calf, Caroline, it's a brasserie. You see, it's somewhere where you can, like, sit at a table, have a coffee, maybe something to eat.
Oh, like a calf?
No, it's completely different. This is much more expensive. And it's French.
I thought that was a bistro.
Oh, don't be deliberately crass, Caroline. A bistro is what the French use for washing their bum. Anyway, the purpose of this crisis meeting, right, is to discuss the impending breakup of Kit and Jeremy's marriage.
Have things really got that bad?
Well, put it this way. For the past week, Jeremy has been sleeping in a tent.
He must be freezing.
No, not really. He's pitched it in the spare bedroom. But it's our duty as their closest friends to avert this major tragedy. I mean, it would be a disaster if Kit and Jeremy split up. Where would I go for dinner?
Well, I think Jeremy's being really self-centred. He doesn't care about the effect this is having on me. I mean, I'm the one who has to provide a shoulder for Kit to cry on. Of course, I'm at work all day, so I've had to lend her one of my jackets.
Yeah, exactly. Good. And that is why, Caroline, you have got to go round there and talk to him. Tell him what a fool he's being. Say that he's throwing away the best thing in his life. Let him know what a bastard he's being to Kit and tell him he's crazy.
Do you think that'll help?
I don't know, but it'll make me feel better. And this, I'll have a word with Kitty. You see, she needs a man to tell her what another man wants.
Hey, I didn't know there was another man.
Jeremy is the other man.
No, Jeremy's the husband.
Waiter, can you bring me another friend? There's something wrong with this one.
Don't be silly, Paul. The waiter can't hear you. He's French.
Caroline, just tell Jeremy what I told you to tell him, right?
Hello, is that the Royal Astronomical Society?
Yes, that is correct.
I wonder if you can help me.
Possibly. If you would care to specify the nature of your inquiry, I will endeavour to assist you.
Well, is it true that if you discover an astronomical phenomenon, that you're allowed to name it yourself?
Such a proposition does beg an affirmative response.
In the way that Bill Haley was able to name that comet.
Aha! In addition to confusing the discoverer of that particular celestial body with the singer in a rather vulgar skiffle combo, my friend, you have compounded the solecism by mispronouncing his name, which should be spoken with a short A, as in Halley.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm rather a stickler for pronunciation, as it happens. For example, of all the planets, Uranus is the most frequently mispronounced for reasons I simply cannot fathom. But enough of my whimsy.
Well, thank you very much.
And many people fail to realise that the name of the infamous Mongol warlord is in fact pronounced Genghis Khan, and not Genghis, as it is.
Thank God there's someone at the door. I must go.
Perhaps I could interest you in some photographs of Patrick Moore naked.
Goodbye. Who's that? Oh, hello, Caroline.
Hello, Jeremy. I've just come round to tell you that... Hey,
what a brilliant telescope. Oh, can I have a go?
Yeah, but do be careful, Caroline. It's a very delicate instrument.
Oh, don't worry. I know all about telescopes. Now, where'd you put the money in? Oh, brilliant. This is breathtaking. I mean, it all looks so close, as if I could just reach out and touch it.
Well, you can if you like. You can have a look through it if you want.
Yeah. Oh, it's so realistic. It's almost like being here. Hey, look, there's the high street. Oh, I can see all the parking meters. There's one just about to run out. Right, I'll get him. Oh, this telescope's great.
Well, I'm sorry, I haven't got one with a rifle attached, Caroline. You could just sit up here gunning them down in comfort.
Oh, Jezza, it's meeting people that makes the job worthwhile. Well, cheerio. Oh, hang on, there's something I've got to tell you.
What?
Paul says you're a fool and a bastard and you're crazy and he hates you. Oh, and Kit's seeing another man. Bye.
Oh, Kit's far too busy ignoring me to have time to see another man. Now then, Patty Joe, where were we? Ah, yes, now, you can always recognise the plough because it doesn't look anything like a plough.
Hi, Kit. Kit. Good, you know, I think Caroline's right. You have been working too hard. Kit!
Hi, Paul.
Good, it's remarkable how some people can sleep anywhere. Although the top of that step there does look a bit rickety. Well, you must be about ready to shut up shop for the evening, eh? Have you had a busy day?
Oh, yeah. You know, lots of trouble with the staff. Negligence, drunkenness, pilfering. It's kind of worrying since I'm the only one working here.
Well, Kit, I understand the state you're in. I mean, let's face it, Jeremy is not exactly blessed with my tact and diplomacy. No wonder your marriage is a complete and utter hideous disaster.
I just don't know what to do. You know, I've tried everything. Nothing seems to work.
Well, listen, there are some quite useful books, you know.
Yeah? Reading might help pass the time.
No, I'm thinking of, you know, a manual.
You have to wait till you get home, Paul.
Kit, look. What you need, Kit, is an element of risk in your lovemaking. I mean, do it somewhere dangerous. Like on a leaky waterbed with an electric blanket.
Oh, Paul, I'd be happy to do it dressed in a penguin suit hang gliding off the Eiffel Tower. But I can't get anywhere near Jeremy. Oh, I can't tear him away from that damn telescope. Oh. Gee, if I could get my hands on that home-wrecking jerk who gave him the idea, I'd kneecap him. Slowly. With tweezers.
Yeah. Well, listen, Kit, look. I'll get it back off him. The trouble is, it sounds like he's really into it.
Well, if it doesn't go soon, it's going to be really into him.
Hang on. I've got an idea. What about burglary?
Yeah. That would be a better hobby for him. And if I could hide the telescope while he's in prison.
Listen, Kit. I'll break into your flat tonight and swipe the telescope. Now, to make it look good, right, I'll have to nick some other things as well.
Oh, great. You can take all of Jeremy's Carpenter's albums.
No. I can't risk having a criminal record. Now, the important thing, Kit, is to somehow get Jeremy to bed early. Now, that is vital. Because I will be breaking in at the stroke of midnight under the cover of...
Hi, Jeremy. Oh, gosh, look at the time. 11:30, time you were in bed. You better be fast asleep by midnight. Otherwise, the goblins will pinch you black and blue. So off to bed. And if you're quick, you can wear your pajamas with the feet in them.
I want to go to bed, kid. There's something I want to show you.
Oh, look at you. You're too tired. There'll be tears.
Just read this letter.
All right. Mommy Bear will read the letter as long as little baby bear promises to go straight to bed.
All right, I promise. Now read this.
Right. Dear Mr. Hardy, subsequent...
To our telephonic communication, now I'm gratified to inform you that subject to confirmation of your discovery, there is no substantial obstacle to appending the appellation of your choice.
Kid?
Yes, Jeremy?
Why are you putting on that funny voice?
Oh, just kidding around. Now, where was I? Of your choice to the purported phenomenon. So what does this all mean?
It means, darling, that I can choose a name for the comet I've discovered.
I see. And what about these naked photos of a one-eyed fat man?
Never mind that. What about my comet?
I don't care about your comet.
But I can append my appellation to it.
Oh, great. Hardy's Comet. That's the dumbest, most arrogant thing I've ever heard. What right have you to name it just because you saw it first? I mean, I was the first person to see you naked. It doesn't mean I want to call your ass Kitty.
Well, as it happens, I wasn't going to name the comet after me. I was going to name it after you.
Oh, gee, I didn't know.
Well, you wouldn't do. You've been in the shop every hour that God sends this week.
Well, only because I wanted to make enough money for us to have a romantic holiday together.
Oh, Kitty.
Oh, Jeremy. I love you.
And I love you, too. Kitty, why don't we go to bed?
Oh, yeah, let's.
I'll show you Kit's comet tomorrow night. After all, the telescope will still be here.
Yes. No! I mean, it's nearly midnight, and Paul... Well, I mean... Oh, you'd better go and get ready for bed. I'll be in about 7.5 minutes.
No. All right, well, Daddy Bear will go into the cave and wait for Goldilocks.
Okay. Now, hold on. I won't be long. Just think of football. Right, now I've got to stop Paul.
Daddy Bear's taking his braces off.
That's nice, dear. God, he'll be here any minute.
And as a special treat, he's taking his socks off.
Okay, don't rush things. Trouble is, he didn't say how he was going to break in. Well, obviously he's not going to smash a window or anything like that.
Kit, what are you doing up?
Paul, go away.
Hey, what was that?
Nothing, honey. I just dropped a contact lens. Look, you just keep concentrating. Move on to the second division. Paul, the plan has changed. We want to keep the telescope. Here, let go.
What are you talking about, Kit? Come on, give it to me.
Oh, God, who's that? I'd better answer it.
I was on neighbourhood parking vigilante watch duty patrol, and I saw someone breaking in here, so I brought the police.
Right, what's going on here, then? What's all the trouble here?
Daddy Bear can't wait any longer. And he's all there, and he's coming to get his Goldilocks. Evening, officer. Well, thank goodness that's finally sorted out. More cocoa, everyone.
Yes, there you go. You know, I thought that policeman would never leave. When he saw all those nude photos all over the floor and the telescope and Jeremy standing in the bedroom doorway completely naked except for his Yogi Bear mask. God, things were pretty tricky for a moment.
Yeah, he wanted to join in.
Well, all this has taught me that friends are more important than any job. That's why in future, I'm only going to give parking tickets to people I really care about.
And Jeremy, I've learned to accept you for what you are. And just pretend you're Omar Sharif.
I've realized that marriage is like an allotment. Early on, the seeds of love are sown, the tender young shoots of a relationship develop, and the well-meaning advice of friends is, well, manure, really.
By the way, Jezza, there's something I've been meaning to tell you. Oh, stupid. Listen, on that telescope, right, there's this little scratch on the lens that someone a bit stupid might mistake for the tail of a comet or something.
Oh, yes, I noticed that immediately.
Oh, don't worry, honey. I don't mind having a scratch named after me. Just as long as I've got you.
Yeah, who needs a telescope anyway?
Yeah, it's useless without a rifle.
And besides, why gaze yearningly into the vastness of the firmament when all the wonders of the world can be found right here at home?
Yes, Jeremy, we've got to learn that we are responsible for our own fulfilment. I know I frequently am.
You know, I think we've all learned something.
Yeah.
In our muddled old way over the last few weeks, the four of us have stumbled across a key to happiness, what you could quite literally call the secret of life.
Yes.
And the secret of life is...
You have been listening to At Home with the Hardys, starring Jeremy Hardy, Kit Hollaback, Caroline Leddy and Paul B. Davis. The script was written by Paul B. Davis, Jeremy Hardy, Kit Hollaback and Pete Sinclair. The producer was David Tyler. And any listeners who do wish to discover the secret of life should send a stabbed, undressed antelope to this big girl's dress. BBC special Secret of Life T-shirt and cassette offer. British Broad Corp. Incastration Television Ding Dong Supper's ready. London W. Bubble and Squeak.